Wow. You guys look better in shorts and t-shirts and, well, actually, some of you are dressed up pretty good, you know, and y'all looking good with your tie. Everybody, look at what a mix we have here today. Just look around at each other. You got people from that's dressed differently. You got people who are of different races, different locations of life, different ages. You got people from all different walks of life here. Some retired, some wanting to be retired, some working, some unemployed, wanting work, some working and don't want to work. We got some that are happy school's out. And I was going to say that we have some that's happy or sad that school's out, but I'm not sure. It would not be a teacher at this time. It might be a parent who is on about week two or three of school being out and they're wore down. But what you see here is a picture of church. This is a picture of the biblical view of what church probably looked like several thousand years ago. Now, I tell you that because we're able to read about the church, the birth of the church, and one of the parts of the Bible, a book in the Bible, called Acts. A-C-T-S. And in this book, it captures the latter part of Jesus' time here on earth, and it begins to describe how his followers and his very, very close followers, called disciples, who were very committed to him, who he poured into and taught over a course of time, how those disciples began to go out and be the church for the world, to be the conduit in which God would speak through to change the world as we know it, to change it and start lining it back up to coming back to that perfection that Eden, when he first created the world, was like with Adam and Eve before man's disobedience. So what you see is what looks like disorganization. Even in that day, it looked like, well, how do we do this? How do we go out and how do we teach and how do we do these? Jesus just sort of told us these things. We've only been with him 2-3 years for some of them. You know, how do we do this? How do we live out these things that he was teaching us and him physically not be with us? Well, Jesus told them, well, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't really say that's what it was, but he said, I'm going to give you the gift of a counselor, someone that will help you, or something that will help you. And the day that that came, and we read about that in Acts, the church began. They were there gathered for some other activity, and the Spirit of God came upon some of them, and they began to talk in different languages and in different tongues, and they began to talk, and for me, some people go, well, I'm not sure about all that speaking in tongues, but here's what I want you to understand about that part. God spoke through people so other people could understand. And all that they did was talk about the wonders and the glories of God, and it changed everyone. And so throughout Acts, we start to see the picture of the church and how it comes. And what we find is that it wasn't perfect. The church wasn't perfect. They had some characters in the church. They had some ruffians in the church. They had some in the church of that time or that group that wanted to just impose their will upon people. And they did that by being tough and saying we got to stick to the standards and we have to do it this away or that away. There were some that used their authority of saying, well, I've been here forever. I've been with Jesus from the very beginning. And you've only been around here a couple of weeks. You got to listen to me. And so there was all kinds of turmoil as they began this church. But here's what I want you to understand. Just like the front of your bulletin says, they were making imperfect progress. They were working on how to get better, but they were working to become better. They were working to have progress on learning more about Jesus, learning more about how to serve, learning more about how to love, learning more about how to trust, learning more about how to forgive. And for me, those things translate from 2,000 years ago to today. Because it's the same things we struggle with today. Knowing how to trust people. Knowing how to forgive people. Knowing how or having a feeling of doubt and trying to survive when you doubt or when you don't understand everything. But yet you still want to know, but you don't want others to know that you don't know. Has anybody ever been there before? Where you didn't know, but you looked around at everybody else and you sort of thought they knew. So you played it off like you knew, but you had no idea what you were doing, right? Anybody ever done that before? All right, because I can tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I've done this before. When we went to North Carolina State University, we took our first chemistry exam. And I was with some people, and you know, it's a new culture. I went to North Carolina State is like Georgia. University of Georgia is huge. It's very huge. And we went to college. I had like 400 or 500 in my class for chemistry. And, you know, I went in on the third floor, and the lecture hall was down on the first floor or second floor, and that's how you did it. But so I'm around new people, and I'm trying to act like I'm not a country bumpkin, you know, but my language gave me away, but I still tried to act like I wasn't one. So they said they were going to go out and celebrate this victory of finishing our first Chemistry 101 exam. So we went to this expensive restaurant. And I'm talking about expensive for me at that time was anything more than what a Golden Corral cost. That was the highlight of our family's life. That was going out to eat, and that was high cotton right there. And so we went to this nice restaurant with the tablecloths and all this. I didn't wear a sports jacket, but they told me I needed to wear a dress shirt and slacks. And I'm like, I'm in college. Why would I do that? But I'm going out with these people. They know what we're doing, and I don't, and I'm acting like it. So we get there, and they're like, we sit down. There's all these pieces of silverware, like more than one fork, more than one spoon, more than one cup or glass. And they weren't like styrofoam or paper cups or plastic cups. They were like glass stuff, you know, and I'm out of my element, but I'm acting like I knew what was going on. Well, they come to a part and they have all of the foods we made our order, and there was this bowl of, you had like a water glass there, and then there was this funny shaped water glass there. You know, these different shaped glasses, and there was one water glass that was about yay big, and it looked like, I don't know, a saucer or something, I don't know, but it had lemons in it. I thought, I'll just take a swallow of that water while I'm waiting. And so I take and I drink the water. You got to hold two hands like that, and you drink it like that because it's a big bowl-looking thing. And I just took a drink of that, and they looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm sort of thirsty, and I want to take some of this lemonade or lemon, but it's water. It's not lemonade. It's just got lemons in it, and get a swallow of water, you know, before the food comes and all. And they're like, dude, that's the finger bowl. I said, well, it's got lemons in it. Why would you put lemons in something to wash your hands? They said, to cut the grease off your fingers. You see, now, at that time, I was so embarrassed, I'd never go anywhere again with those people. I didn't hang out with them anymore. I drank from a finger bowl. You know? But what I learned is not to drink from the finger bowl. So my failure helped me to learn what not to do again. My other failure that I still struggle with is the failure of not asking questions because I don't know. See, if I'd have just leaned over and asked one of them a question or just asked them about these things and not worried about my pride, my ego, my image, what image do you have as a freshman in college or nothing, then I could have learned if I would have just asked. But because of that failure, I began to make progress on getting better at knowing nice restaurants. Now, I've traveled all over the world now. in various parts of the world. And I've learned to go in, I've learned to ask questions in different cultures, because I also learned that you can do things that could offend people and not meaning to. So I ask the questions ahead of time. And I still fail, but I'm on this track to get better, to make progress. It's just imperfect. See, to me, that's what the church is. The church that we see today is imperfect. But there's so many people trying to make it perfect, they're failing to focus on the people that make up the church who are imperfect. They want to make the systems perfect. They want to make the structures perfect. They want to make all things perfect. But they're not working to help answer or make the people feel comfortable that are the church, make them feel comfortable if they can ask the questions to help them in their growth or their understanding or their progress to learning more about Jesus Christ. Now in Acts, we have a story in Acts chapter 8. And it relates to what we're about to do today. And it's a story about a baptism. And I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to go practice it. So, one of Jesus' close companions and followers was named Philip. And after Jesus' teachings, his death, his crucifixion, his death, and his later resurrection, and a period of time that he met with his followers, his disciples, after his resurrection, but then he went to heaven. It was after this time that the disciples began to go out and try to do ministry. And they were sort of spreading out and doing ministry. And Philip was very successful in this one area. And the Holy Spirit told him one day, said, I want you to go somewhere different. This is where I'm going to pick up and read. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So I just want to stop there. This guy had been a city guy. There was somebody that was from Atlanta and said she just moved back here recently. And I'm like, Atlanta and Statesboro are two. Is it Candace? What, I can't remember her name, but she's back there beside Paula. What was your name? Constance. I was close. I was Constance. So, but she just moved back from Atlanta to Statesboro. Now, this ain't the same as Atlanta. You understand what I'm saying? Philip was doing ministry in a town like Atlanta. And they moved him out in the country. I mean, not just the country, the desert country. Nothing. And he moved him out of this place of nowhere. So I'm wondering if Philip is going, man, there's nothing going to happen here. There's no life out here. Why would God send me out here? Why would Jesus send me out here? So he goes out to this desert road. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch who was an important official in charge of all the treasuries of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. What he's talking about is this woman that this guy worked for wasn't from around here, but she was important. She probably didn't have the same color skin, nor did he. And he was a eunuch, which means they had taken care of, not surgically, but taken care of his desires to want to be with women, if you understand what I'm saying, for the adults. So this man had gone down to worship, or had gone to worship in Jerusalem. So he'd left all the way from wherever Ethiopia was and traveled a great distance, had a caravan with him, and he traveled all this way just to go to Jerusalem to worship. That's a long way to go. Some of us have a hard time just driving 5 miles down the road to go to church, much less several hundred miles just to go for one worship service. So he went, and the man has gone to worship, and he was on his way home, so it means his worship was over, so he's heading back home. And he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So that tells you he was very wealthy, because not many people had a written copy of anything at that time or could read. So he's educated. And so he's sitting in the desert reading this. Now the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip goes and moves over. So Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. So he asked this question to a perfect stranger. They hadn't known each other. They hadn't a different culture. Nothing in common. Nothing in common except this guy is searching for something in the scriptures. Most people search the scriptures to try to find hope, to try to find direction. I search it to try to find guidance. I search it for all kinds of things to try to find things to help me in this world that I'm in. This guy's looking for the same thing, trying to find how do I make it through life, I'm sure. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the two strangers, how can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage from the scripture. So he starts to read a scripture. Here's the scripture he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? So, if you don't know anything about Jesus, if you don't know anything about, you're just reading this and going, that's a kind of odd story to have in this book of scriptures that they say are important for my growth. People being led to the shears, the sheep being led to the shears. He's like going there and doesn't open your mouth. You got to keep your mouth shut. I don't understand this. And he's deprived of justice. Who wants to be deprived of justice? How does that help me grow in my relationship with God? And he has such a difficult life that he dies and he doesn't even have children. He's not going to be getting married and have children. So what is this about? And the eunuch asked Philip, he says, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? So this perfect stranger, this person, he's asking a stranger to help him. Does everybody understand that? How many do you ask a stranger something anytime about direction in your life? I mean, you might ask a stranger in Walmart who looks like they know where something is, you know, because they change that store around so many times, you can't find anything in there, you know. But, you know, you might ask a stranger, how do you go here? You might ask a stranger how to get direction somewhere. You might ask a stranger, who's someone around here that can fix cars or something, you know. We would say Mr. Thomas or somebody else like that because we know. But it's hard. Who asked a stranger to get direction for their life? But I believe this is true of all of us. I believe everyone in this room is listening to some stranger tell you about who God is and who Jesus is. Sometimes it's on YouTube. Sometimes it's on Facebook. Sometimes it's our friend said. My friend said this. Here's one that I'm seeing a lot of in our time now. Well, my grandma said this about Jesus. Or I used to go to church with my grandma, and they talk about how it used to be. And so it's this ancient memory of what church is, or what love is, or this, you know what I'm saying? And so they're asking anybody. There was an old song that just come to my mind right now. I want to say it's Mickey Gillis. And it was on The Urban Cowboy, if not just told how old I am, but it's Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places was the song. The Little Rascals sing that too? But yeah, Little Rascals is way back there in the day now. So the whole point I'm trying to make is, I think this Ethiopian eunuch is us. I think he's got a job. I think he's got a responsibility. I think he has life and work to do. I think he took out of his time to go try to find out about this God, to find out how to make it. And he's trying to read it and do it on his own. And so he does what he feels that he ought to do. He does what it feels good. But he doesn't have anybody in his culture, in his world, to teach him or to explain to him or to instruct him. And then Philip shows up, who represents this new church of Jesus Christ. And Philip begins, at this point, the scripture says, the eunuch says, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, I just want to stop right there. You got to know something about Jesus to take that passage and be able to talk about Jesus. Do you understand where I'm coming from? You got to know something about Jesus to be able to put together that's what that's talking about. And what happens in this world is we have people trying to explain to us what the scriptures mean who don't know Jesus. They hear it. And they see a slogan on your t-shirt. They see a passage of scripture. They see wives' tales that are quoted and say that's scriptural. They don't know. And it's not because they don't want to know. It's not because they're not hungry for it. It's not because they're not willing to travel miles to try to find it. They're going to go somewhere. They're going to visit your church. They're going to visit other churches. They're going to visit some places. They're going to stop online and look at Andy Stanley. They're going to stop. They're going to go to different places because they're looking for something. They're going to talk at the water cooler. They're going to talk to their friends. They're going to talk about it. When somebody dies in their life, they're going to be looking for something. So who are they going to talk to? The people who they think know something about God. And they're just going to go off their looks, but not off what they know. And see, what we have is a lot of posers. And we have a lot of people out there explaining things that they don't know Jesus himself. And so when we have this here, we see him say, he just told them the good news about Jesus. That's what it says, the good news about Jesus, period. See, many in this world don't know the good news. See, the good news is that Jesus came as a model, as an example, as a perfect sacrifice for our sins that we have ever done or ever will do, and the world has ever done or ever will do, so that it could bind or connect back the relationship or mend the relationship back to his Father God. Because God created us so he could love us. And unfortunately, we don't love him. And so he just told him that good news. He just told him that. And he's telling it from firsthand experience. I'm sure that there's no way that you could have hung around with Jesus for 3 years and not, I mean, Philip was called, well, hey man, dude, listen, let me tell you the good news about Jesus. This guy came, and you know, I was on the shore. Me and my brother was fishing. I mean, that's what we did. We were fishing. This guy come up, and he tells my brother, says, hey, come on, I'm going to make y'all a fisher of men. Now, I don't know what that means. I didn't know if we need to take our nets, and he just goes on. But then we go hang out with this guy, and he starts to teach us stuff, and we start to say, well, hey, the religious leaders say this. And this is what they tell us because we don't have these scriptures. You've got a scripture here. I've never seen scriptures. I have to go to the temple to have someone read it because I don't have the money to have it. We're poor. But Jesus said, this scripture, this word is meant for you, not just a piece of paper. What the intent, what the meaning is meant for you so you can have hope. It's because my Father loves you. My Father wants you to be and improve and make progress to becoming a better person. In fact, he has a purpose for you. The world needs us to love others. And he wants to love others through us. And he probably told, he said, dude, I was there one time and we went out there. Because he's talking about his own personal experience. It just says he told them the good news about Jesus. Well, he's not going to tell what he saw somebody else do. He's going to talk, dude, we were out there and we were in the middle of a desert just like this. And Jesus was talking. There was a multitude. I mean, there was people everywhere as far as you could see. Look around us, all of this area, people around him. And we told him, like, dude, you got to go send these people home. Because we don't have any food out here. They're going to get sick. If they don't get some food and some water, they're going to get sick. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And we're like, man, it would take like all this money, more money than we could ever have to get these people something to just have one bite of bread. And he says, well, what do you have? Just what do you have? And I don't know if Jesus was passionate like that. He's like, what do you have? And they said, well, this little boy here has got some fishes and some loaves. He's got a couple pieces of bread and a few pieces of dried fish. Give him here. Gives thanks for him. And Philip's telling him, dude, I was one of the ones that handed out the bread. I was one of the ones that handed out the fish. And I'm telling you, we went around to several thousand people and kept handing it out, and it didn't run out. In fact, everybody ate, and they were full. And we picked up 12, count them, 12 basketfuls of leftovers. I've never seen anything like it. Now, that Ethiopian eunuch, you know what he's doing, don't you? He's going. What, and then I'm sure, now think about it. You're an Ethiopian eunuch. You're not Jewish. You know, you've had your sexual desires taken away from you by surgery, if I'm going to say that. You don't feel like a man. You don't feel like nothing. I mean, there is no person here. I'm from another culture. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. And Philip's like, this news is for you. This news is for you. It's the nothings in the world that this Jesus went to that cross and died for, so that you would have the opportunity to believe and to love and to have life again. No matter what your physical shape is, no matter what your physical color is, no matter what your job is, no matter whether you have arthritis or you have some type of disease, no matter what you have you deal with, you can be loved and you can love. And this guy's going, this is the greatest thing I ever heard. All because somebody just told him about something they had experienced. See, did I get a little passionate there? Did y'all sense passion? I ain't passionate about what Andy Stanley says that happened in his life. It connects with me, but that's his life. I'm passionate about what God has done in my life. I'm a nobody. I'm still a nobody. And he still tells me every day, you're a somebody because of what's in you. And that's my son, Jesus Christ, and a love for him. Now, I'm going to close this out real quick and just let me get you here there. As they traveled along the road. Now, you got this. He just conversates, right? Now, when did he meet him? What was the eunuch doing? Reading. Sitting still in the chariot, right? The next is, as they traveled along the road, where are they going? Down the road. Which way? Where was the eunuch going to begin with? No, he had just left Jerusalem. Now, where is he going? He's going back to Ethiopia. He's going home. Where's Philip? Going with him. I want you to hear that. Philip didn't say, get your tail off this thing and let's get back up there to Jerusalem and get up in that church and let's go up there and do that. He didn't do that. What did he say? He just went with him. And he went with that man on his journey. And he kept instructing him and kept talking to him. You don't know, but you're going to see this pastor. I'll go to a bar. Not for the drinks, for the opportunity to be Christ in a place that people aren't expecting it. I'll take a Bible study and we'll do it in Shane's Rib Shack every Tuesday for 7 years. And we've been doing that because you don't have to come to church. We'll come to you. We'll travel on your path. I got several men back here on that back row. We do it every Tuesday. We're not worried about it. That's what it is. We'll meet in an amphitheater on a hot day, fanning gnats, to be in an environment that would give somebody a chance to see they can be a part, and it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter the clothes you wear. It doesn't matter if you've got tattoos or not. It doesn't matter if you've got cancer or not. It doesn't matter if you're a part. Because we're going to travel along with you. And so as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, so you got to think, time is happening. This stuff is processing in him, right? He says, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Well, where did the word baptize even come to in this guy's language? He might have seen other people do it. This is something that they were doing in different cultures, but it's like, he didn't understand it. And so he asked that question to Philip. Shouldn't I be baptized? Well, no. You know, John the Baptist baptized me, or you got to go to this certain water and be baptized. You have to do it this certain way. If you don't get dunked in this way here, then it's not a good baptism. And if that certain person does it dunked you that has a lineage all the way back to somebody else. Philip didn't say that. Philip just, look here, he says, why shouldn't I be baptized? And so he gave orders to stop the chariot. I mean, it happened at that moment that after being instructed from someone who has a personal experience with Jesus and teaching them, instructed means teaching, not just telling, they're teaching so they understand, do you have any questions? Can I help? You understand? That's instruction. If I'm just going to tell you something, I don't care whether you get it or not, I'm just going to tell you. That's a speech. He didn't give him a speech, he instructed him. He asked him questions. He said, he interacted with him. He said he gave orders to stop the chariot. By the way, everybody stops when the Ethiopian eunuch says stop. This man's got power. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip went down there and did it. Philip went in the water. That connection to the church, that connection to Christ, that's the one that went down there. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. I can't tell you how many people I've baptized in my life. I can if I go back and look, because I got it written down. But I can't tell you where they all are right now. Some are in heaven. I'm hoping all are in heaven. Some are working in the church. Some are working in their family. Some are in good places. Some are in not good places. But all of them are working because of the Holy Spirit in them to make imperfect progress to get better. Philip, however, appeared. The eunuch did not see him again, and he went on his way rejoicing. So that's why I want to close out here right now. We have people here today who have been instructed. They were searching. They were looking. They were longing. And they were wanting to be a part. And I've met with them. And we've talked and we instruct them. They understand this Jesus. They understand. They're professing their faith. This is their profession of what they believe. And what has happened over a period of time, and one is in a teenager and the other is older than a teenager. And what they have said is, it's taken me this long, this journey, to come to this point, to say, this is what I need to do. I need to be a part of this. Why can't I be baptized today? So after instruction, after understanding and questioning, these two people are going to be baptized in just a few moments. And that baptism begins to be this message to the world. It's an outward sign to all of us who are seated here today and to the world of a love that's going on inside of them. It doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they're not going to talk back to their mama, though they may not talk back as much. It's not that they're going to be mean or ugly. A dirty word may come out. I hope not, but it may. They're not going to be perfect, but they're going to be heading toward perfection. And they're making their next step of progression toward that. And you, today, get to be a part of it. You, who are believers in Jesus Christ, get to represent the universal church, who says, as they profess their love and faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized, you get the opportunity to say, we accept you as part of our family. It's their declaration to be a part of the family. I want to be a part of the family. I've been watching some Viking movies recently, and they did these arranged marriages. You could get people married, but that didn't mean they have to love you. In our culture today, we try to do it more out of love leads the marriage rather than we marry for land or property or something. These people are saying we love Jesus and we want to be a part of a family that loves him too, and we want to be a part of a family that will teach us. And you, as believers, will get the opportunity to welcome them into the family and say, I'll be there for you. Will you be there for me? So I'm going to invite Devin up. We're going to sing our last song. Those that are going to be baptized, we're going to move on up there. During this last song, at the end of that last song, we're just going to ask after this song to move up to this area right up here to the right. You can take your stuff or leave your stuff, but as soon as we finish with the baptismal service up there, we're going to head right on up, and we got dinner on the grounds. Now, if you didn't come prepared to eat, we came prepared to feed you. Okay, you didn't come here, you're just like, well, I'm on a diet. Well, we got some diet stuff up there. You just don't get as much, okay? That's the way diet stuff works. It ain't about, oh, that's got so much sugar. Yeah, just get one bite then. Don't get eight. That's our diet method here, you know. So, but my point is, we want you to be a part of this family. And if you don't have a church home, and if you're looking, we'd love for you to consider one of our two campuses, because we like big families. And we got a whole lot of love of Christ in us that we want to share with people. And we'd love to have you be a part of that. So, Father God, as we continue in this service, as we sing this last song, I pray that you would bring up those experiences in our life, those failures that we've had, and then help remind us, Lord, that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us to repentance, to forgive, and then to work and make those steps to get better each day. So, Lord, thank you for all those here this morning who are seeking to be better and are willing to ask those who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, can you help me understand this more? And give us the courage to not point them to the pastor, but to sit down with them and go on the journey as a disciple of Jesus Christ and share the good news of Jesus with them. We ask all this in his name. Amen.